It's 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. I am Sarah, and on the line we've got a singer who is a talented multi-instrumentalist. He's got about a dozen studio albums under his belt when you add up the releases with his band and his solo material. He's the frontman of Godsmack, who have played our MMRBQ a few times and countless shows in the Philly area. We welcome to MMR Sully Erna.
Sarah Parker! I'm going to give you my best Boston accent. Paca.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So you're calling today because you've got this new charity foundation to tell us about. It was named after a Godsmack song. So I want to start by asking you about that song. Under Your Scars is on the latest Godsmack album, When Legends Rise, and it's a slightly different sound for the band. So tell us how this song came to be.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? I got to tell you, though, before I even get into that, I got to tell you about something funny that just happened to me. So I was trying your number about 3 or 4 times.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm going, why? It's just saying, this number is not available. This number is not available. And then I realized that I was dialing 666 instead of 668. And I was like, oh, I guess Satan isn't home today.
But no, he ain't. But we are.
Yeah, you know, hey, this whole thing with the foundation was really kind of triggered by this song, Under Your Scars, which obviously now is our latest single. Because I think if anybody knows anything about me and the years I've put into music, is that whenever I write, especially lyrical content, it's always based on some kind of event that's happened to me and it has affected me on an emotional level somehow. And, you know, Scars was one of those things that I was involved with someone that I triggered something inside of them that, I don't know, it triggered kind of one of their things that they were insecure or embarrassed about or, you know, felt a little bit imperfect. And I think the tendency of a human being naturally is to close off and go away, run from it, right? Because they don't want to face it or they don't want to talk about it or for whatever reason it makes them feel, you know, insecure. And it really got me thinking. And I started kind of twisting the song around to be more about a positive thing because I started identifying at the same time I was thinking, man, I wish they would have stuck around a little because I could have told them easily after the life I've lived that we all have these scars, these imperfections, these things that make us feel insecure, whether it's acne or an amputee or a burn victim or depression or whatever. We all have these things, right? And the song really became about, hey, it's okay that you have these scars. Like, I'm okay with living with them, you know, if you're okay with living with mine, because little do you know, I have just as much junk under the skin as you do. So when that started to form, it really started to trigger what I've been wanting to do for a while, which was create a real organization, some kind of nonprofit that doesn't just target one category, but targets multiple categories that all funnel people into this depressive state of mind. And especially after losing a couple of personal friends to suicide that I didn't even see coming, you know, this was, you know, a person in my life that was always so positive and smiling and extremely creative, amazing artist, did a lot of the Godsmack albums and T-shirt designs and that kind of thing. And I didn't even know he had this battle with severe depression until I got the phone call that told me he was gone. And it was just such a shocker. You know, I really struggled with trying to think of what to create and how to give back. And, you know, fortunately for me, I've never lost anyone to AIDS or cancer or something like that, which not that I'm not compassionate about it, but it never affected me on a personal level so much. But when I started to come up on these topics, I was like, you know, maybe this is where my expertise lies. Because I was that street kid that grew up in very poor, very tough environment, involved in a lot of addiction and crime and gangs and all that crap that you get on the streets. And I have my own story to share, things that I hated about myself, things that I was embarrassed about or battled, you know, health-wise with mental illnesses and things like that. And it just made sense. And so I decided to form this thing called the Scars Foundation, inspired by this song. And, you know, not only do we hope for it to become something that's going to help raise money on a global level to give to these experts in these fields, whether it's depression or addiction or suicide prevention, bullying, PTSD, like all these things that kind of tip people sideways. But we also want to make this foundation a real voice for these people that suffer in silence and don't have a voice and let them know that, like, hey, you're not alone with this. Like, we all have this crap. Don't look at us as like untouchable in these successful rock stars or actors and actresses. Like, we all battle these things, but what's important is that we flush them out, because obviously when you're dealing with physical scars, they're a lot easier to identify, right? You see someone that's a burn victim or an amputee, you can reach out, you can help, you can contribute. But the silent killer, the invisible killer, is the depression one. And we don't always see that. And we very rarely see it until it's too late. So I think the only way to really help, besides raising money, is to become a voice and empower these people and inspire them to tell their stories so others will tell theirs. And maybe that's how we'll stop making a dent in this thing.
Creating awareness is just as important as raising funds, like you just said. And I like the idea that this foundation is going to give you the opportunity to help all types of people. Like you said, scars can be mental, they can be physical, they can be emotional. So if someone wants to contribute to this project, how do they do that?
It's on the website. If they go to godsmack.com, you can put in /scars foundation, or just go to godsmack.com and there's a link there that'll shoot you to the page. It'll tell you all about our mission statement and the about us and who's involved and what we're going to be doing. And, you know, obviously we're still new and we're growing, but we've had a tremendous amount of support. We've partnered in with some of the most elite companies that are experts in these fields. You know, over the months to come, we're going to be creating concerts and events and public speakings and, you know, 5K color runs or whatever it is that we decide that we can do to bring a community together. So whether they want to go to the site and just simply donate, and that's the part they want to do, or they want to get involved with some of the events or just be a part of the community and share their stories, all that's available to them. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish, is just really creating a community to allow people to have a voice.
That's wonderful. And we look forward to watching this project evolve, the Scars Foundation. And you can get more information on Godsmack's website. We're speaking with Sully Arna of Godsmack. When Legends Rise is the 7th studio album from your band. And we talked about the song Under Your Scars, but listening to the album as a whole, I get the vibe that the band is becoming more comfortable sort of deviating from the sound that Godsmack fans are used to. For example, Under Your Scars is a ballad. We don't often hear that from Godsmack, but it's really cool. I'm hearing different instrumentation that maybe in the past would have been saved for some of your solo projects. So was that expansion of sound, I picked up on it, was that a conscious decision when you guys were making this record?
Yeah, you know, when I first decided to start writing the new record, I really wasn't sure where I was going to go, as I never do when I write a record. I always think I'm the worst writer in the world and I have no ideas and it's my career's over and I'm going to fall into my own depression.
Very self-deprecating, I see.
Yeah, I am. But I did know that I wanted to take it to a different place. I felt like the first 20 years of Godsmack, you know, we really kind of built our career off of being a hard rock band, and sometimes we rode that line of metal at times. But, you know, listen, 20 years later, you grow a lot as an individual, as a songwriter, as a person, as a band, as everyone does. And we've even seen that some of the original Godsmack fans from back in the 90s now have 18-year-old kids of their own, and there's a whole new generation coming up learning about Godsmack with their parents. And it just felt like it was going to be too pigeonholed to kind of keep writing the same kind of record over and over again. I just felt like I had evolved so much, the band has evolved so much, individually and collectively, that, you know, we need to expand and we need to explore. And, you know, of course, doing solo work and working with other musicians and finding all those textures and sounds, yeah, it really became something that I wanted to start introducing. Because we've never really considered ourselves a metal band. We always considered ourselves a hard rock band. And just like any hard rock band, you know, over the years, whether it's the Stones or Zeppelin or Aerosmith, you know, they've always been able to broaden their musical genre, you know, by creating what they really believe is the best music for them at that time in their life. And this is where we're at right now at this time in our life.
I really enjoy hearing the evolution and listening to When Legends Rise. And we're playing Under Your Scars here on MMR. We're playing Bulletproof. We're playing the title track, When Legends Rise. So a lot of Godsmack on our airwaves. Gotta love it.
I love that.
So do we. So do we. You're in Canada right now, right? You guys are on the road?
Yeah, I'm freezing in Calgary.
Well, you got to get yourself some Tim Hortons and warm up, obviously.
This is stupid. It's almost May, for crying out loud. I'm so over the winter. I want summer now.
That's the great white north for you. I don't know how you guys get anything done on tour, because I'm looking at your Instagram and it just seems like one giant dance party. Like, what happens on the road? Do you guys get anything done?
Let me tell you, everyone asks us if we staged that for Instagram. And I'm like, you know what? It all started because it wasn't staged. It was just the energy that goes to the dressing room before we go on most of the time. You know, we meet up a couple hours before we go on stage and get dressed and hang out and have a little time together. And, you know, it just it just starts. Like, someone puts on a playlist of something and some goofy song comes on that normally we wouldn't listen to seriously. And it always just triggers some kind of weird energy. And that's now what we're becoming known for. Is like some
you're twerking
dance band,
because it's pretty good. You're on point, my friend.
Thanks.
Well, it's going to be a lot warmer by the time you come back to the Philly area, or just outside of Philly, rather. You're coming to Ocean Resort Casino in Atlantic City, and that's going to be on July 20th. You know, it's always great going to a Godsmack show because you have this new material and you know you're going to hear songs from the latest album, but you also know that you're going to hear the hits that you know and you love. But some of these songs, it dawned on me that you said it earlier. Some of these songs are 20 years old now, which is kind of hard to believe. And I'm sure you were in a completely different headspace 2 decades ago when you wrote them. So what's it like to play those songs from your earlier discography now?
You know, it's funny. You would think you would be completely sick of them. And there is times where you just go like, oh, I'm just not feeling the song tonight. But luckily for us, we've had a pretty good run and we have a pretty good collection of top 10 singles. And so in those moments, we can flip one song out for a different song and it's still a popular song. And so we've had the blessings of that, at least. I will say that in general, they just have taken on their own life over the years, and we enjoy them just as much now as we did back then, maybe even more so now, because it means something to people, and you can see their eyes light up, and you can see the passion when they're singing along, and how important that song is to them for whatever reason, and I don't know their stories, but there's a connection there, and that's really, you know, something that always makes us feel great playing and performing the songs, and it gives us new energy every night.
Gotta love it. Sully, you're a man of many talents. You're also a drummer. Well, you're a multi-instrumentalist, but I know you're big on the drums. So I co-host this podcast where we take a topic, we plug it into a bracket, and then we decide what in that list, in that bracket, is the best thing in that topic. And I bring this up because we recently did an episode on rock drummers. We decided on what we believed, or who we believed, was the best rock drummer of all time. And I'm wondering who you think the best rock drummer of all time is, because I want to see if it lines up with the conclusion that we came to.
Oh, my God. Neil Peart. Well, rock, well, let me, it's tough.
It is
John
tough,
Bonham,
isn't
Neil
it?
John Bonham, Neil Peart. Listen, they were both my drum instructors growing up. I literally quit school, quit relationships, quit family to sit home with headphones strapped on my head in my bedroom at 15 years old and learn every Rush and Zeppelin record that I could. And they're both amazing for different reasons. So when it comes to just big, fat rock grooves, I got to give it to Bonham. But when it comes to the technical stuff, there was no better drummer on this planet than Neil Peart. I mean, he was the professor. And I'll tell you a quick story. You have time for this?
I do.
Okay. All right. Me and my drummer, Shannon, who idolized Neil, finally got to meet him several years ago. And, you know, it was great to hang backstage with him, sit and chat. This guy doesn't really meet many people anymore. He's gone through a crazy life of his own. But it was really nice to be able to kind of share stories with him and tell him how important he's been to us. And so, you know, they were retiring. We got to see the second to last show. And Shannon was like, so are you really done? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm done. And Shannon goes, yeah, but you're going to, you know, you're going to still do like side project or something. Right? He's like, yeah, no, I'm pretty much done. And he goes, well, what about like just having a drum kit in your basement? Are you ever going to like hold sticks again? And he put his arm around Shannon and he goes, you know what, son? I think I've done about everything I can do on the drums. And Shannon goes, yes, you have, sir. And he walked away. It was just one of those things that I feel Neil has literally done everything that could possibly be done on a drum set. And for that reason, I have to give it to Neil.
That's a pretty good reasoning right there. And you're right. Neil has had this crazy life. And he doesn't meet a lot of people anymore. So that's so cool that especially this late into his career, when he's probably not meeting anybody, that you got to speak to him. That is awesome. And it's funny that you bring up Bonham and Peart, because those were the two that we came down to in the end. And we struggled just like you just struggled a minute ago trying to decide who was the best. And I won't reveal who we picked, but it was quite the battle. I will say that.
Either one of them wouldn't bother me as the winner, because they're two completely different drummers, but they're both amazing.
I know you got to go. One last question for you. I know you're a big vinyl collector. You like playing vinyl when you're hanging out at home. Did you pick up anything good for Record Store Day earlier this month?
You know, I have on this tour, I've been meaning to. It's funny you say that, because just yesterday, Shannon came in with a few new records, because he collects vinyl too. And he got old Stevie record and an old DOA punk album and some blues record. And it made me think, I got to get to some vinyl stores before this tour ends. So I haven't got anything this month, but I'm working on it.
Gotcha. You can learn more about the Scars Foundation on Godsmack.com, and you can see Godsmack live in Atlantic City this July. We'd love to have you around the MMR studios this summer if it works out. But in the meantime, Sully Erna, thank you so much for joining us on MMR today.
For sure. We'll be seeing you guys soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.